Hello again. Welcome back to our Object Relations Theory lecture series. I'm pleased to speak to you again today. My name is Dr. Susan Cavalier Appler, fellow of the American Board and Academy of Psychoanalysis, and founder and executive director of the Object Relations Institute for Psychotherapy and Psychoanalysis. I would like to speak today about love addiction. And I'm going to relate you to a particular case of someone I worked with and wrote about. That paper will be in both the Mind's Consilium's journal and then will be published in my several volumes of my selected papers that are on contract. These volumes are on contract with International Psychoanalytic Books. Richards. And so you can read more after you hear me. Love addiction is a very interesting topic because the love addict is not able to love by definition. Yet the love addict is called that because they cling to relationships of pseudo-love out of dependence and out of a powerful internal pressure to try to merge in with someone that they either have sex with or they cling to as a dating or romantic relationship. And they're constantly terrified of abandonment, and they're constantly seeking to have an inner emptiness filled up by the relationship with the romantic partner. So it's called love addiction because it's related to love relationships, but they're really the pseudo relationships with this kind of person because they're not at a developmental level where they're able to truly love as a whole person and where they can have love and anger sustain loving relations through aggression and ambivalence and the depressive position, kind of ambivalent, look true love relationships that Melanie Klein describes and that I've described in my books and how I define it in the books on the compulsion to create and create a mystique, the contrast between women who could love well-known women artists and writers who could love or not, and contrasting that a compulsion to create that can also become a kind of love addictive behavior. But love addiction is in some ways the opposite of the person who has a compulsion to create, because the compulsion to create addict tries to live in their internal world with their creativity and can't sustain external relations. The love addict has no sense of her or his, but I'm going to use the case of a woman in this case, no sense of, that person has no sense of her own abilities, talents, and potentials. And she therefore has to hook into another and validate herself only through the relationship. So she feels totally at a loss without the other. So she's called a love addict because she clings to these relationships. Now, the person I was thinking of discussing with you today is someone I worked with many years ago in psychoanalysis and from an object relations perspective, where she was able to undergo a very critical developmental mourning process and integrate herself and find tremendous talents and abilities, and she became a very successful author and professional, and her talents emerged on many planes. She even did some, was a playwright. She emerged many, many talents, but when she first came to me, she had no sense of her abilities, and she was really quite a brilliant woman, but also potential creativity was so there, but she didn't, she was closed off to it because of an early developmental arrest with her mother, a borderline mother, and a narcissistic father. She, what could she do? She ended up being developmentally arrested because the bonding in the first 3 years of life couldn't be sustained. She couldn't develop an adequate self by internalizing whole object parents. So she became psychologically disabled in this way. She was a very pretty woman, very smart. So she would get, I'm very sexual, so she would get a lot of dates or one night stands or whatever, eventually, you know, a real relationship. But she was always clinging and terrified of abandonment. Things really changed for her when she stopped running after these men that she was obsessed with, the obsession. She was obsessed, she couldn't stop calling them even when they were rejecting her. And she herself wrote about this. But she became, things turned around for her when she started to feel basically addicted, in quotes, to me. And she started to feel her need for me, her dependence on me, and her longing for me. And then instead of hooking in with a man to try to fill in her missing psychic structure, her missing talents, her emptiness within, she turned to me, and there things could be worked out, because obviously I wasn't going to abandon her or be like the rejecting men, or, you know, be manipulative with her. I was going to hear her feelings and thoughts and allow the mourning process to take place. And that's what happened. She came 3 times a week for analysis. There are other times she came once or twice a week for psychotherapy. But at this critical stage, she came 3 times a week and lay on the couch and did the mourning process with me, being there with her. She had the holding environment with me. Through this, she was able to feel this primal loss from the primal trauma of the disruption of bonding with the mother. And then she was able to grieve the loss. Eventually, the rage came out. She had all these hysteroid kind of giggly kind of little girl defenses in the beginning. Then the rage was discovered. But then the grief of the loss of the abandonment of the mother, the absence of the mother. As she mourned and internalized a better relationship with myself being there with her through this mourning process, she started to let go of this clinging defensive behavior and to discover, in the words of another patient who had a similar condition, she began to discover a home within, and she began to discover all these talents and abilities that she had, and she really took off. And through the years, she had come back for a while for different aspects of her treatment, but this critical stage of the developmental mourning was key to her integrating parts of herself that had been split through the primal split with the mother, and therefore integrating and alleviating the pathological dissociation and splitting that had made her run from this guy to that guy and never feeling she was full and whole from within and that she could live an independent life. She did get to live an independent life, and a very creative one, and a very self-expressive one, through this work of developmental mourning with me. And she was someone with a demon lover kind of complex, but when she mourned, she could separate from men who weren't good for her, turned against her, or abandoned her, and then she didn't have to have an outside muse that would turn demonic and controlling her. Then she could have her resources for her psyche from within herself, and increasingly so through the years, and increasingly so could she manifest more and more talent in the world and really owning it, and of course separating from me after this critical period where she felt that lust for me, for attachment that she had felt with this man. With these men. Now she felt it for me, and that allowed her to settle into treatment and to go through the developmental mourning process to become an independent woman. Now the love addict could be a man or a woman. The cases I'm thinking of now are of women, And sometimes there's an overlap between closet nurses and love addiction because of this lack of it, abilities within the self and needing the other to complete psychologically in a defensive way, make one feel whole when one isn't. But it's also different when she, there was some aspect of closet narcissism in seeing me in it as, you know, with a lot of admiration, in some ways wanting to be like me. But with this woman, more that with the closet narcissist, there was more of an emphasis on me clinging to the relationship to make her feel whole to the other, just not to inflate an image so much, but to give her a sense of an anchor that would make her feel she was wanted. And that's why it's like the love addict, the wish to be loved, to be wanted. So it's a little different dynamic than the closet narcissist, who wants to be mirrored and have an image of the self inflated. With the love addict, it's more wanting to feel wanted and loved, and desperation for that, and the provoking abandonment by those one she clings to, and then having it become a self-fulfilling prophecy over and over again, that the one she goes after she'll cling to because she's not whole, she can't be independent, and she can't separate and connect. Instead, she clings, and the person reacts by rejecting her. But then when she mourned, and before the mourning there was the rage, the aggression, all the feeling states of finding herself from within and finding out about her unconscious and opening up a world of dreams and fantasies and creativity from within herself, and then able to use her high intelligence to do actual, very profoundly important work in the world. And to get her voice out there and her identity really reflecting her own achievements. So it's been a pleasure to speak to you today about the love addict, because it's also a very important kind of early developmental arrest that object relationists specialize in, these early arrests in character development that are from the first 3 years of life when the self is first forming, with very critical trauma that has to be healed in the treatment. That's our specialty, after the pre-edible trauma and developmental arrest. The person then can become whole through treatment, go through the mourning process, and eventually be a very independent and creative and self-expressive person who can then sustain true love in sustaining the capacity to love as well as to create. And the derivations of my thinking go back to many, but I do credit Melanie Klein for the whole idea of the movement into the depressive position from the paranoid schizoid position, and Margaret Mahler for the separation, individuation, disruption that needs to be healed, and many others like James Masterson, Otto Kernberg, and others that also deal with these kind of defenses and help the person to become a whole person. So thank you for joining me today to speak about love addiction. And my article will be in my selected papers coming out with, I believe this paper is in the second volume on the demon lover theme and conflicts, and that will be coming out with International Psychoanalytic Books with Arnold Richards and Tamar Schwartz. So thank you again for joining me, and you can read also more about the demon lover complex and my work and other related things with the love addiction. Thank you, and see you next time.